Blog Talk Radio.
Your life. How are you on this beautiful, glorious day? Today, I'm sitting here looking at some beautiful snow shine again. I like it to call it snow shine because to me, it's happiness. It's shiny and happy, and even with the cold, I love it. It's my favorite time of year. And I'm so happy that we finally got snow. It was just way too warm here in New England up until a week ago when we're having 68-degree days in January or February. That's just wrong. Something is not right in the world when we're having that kind of weather. So I'm glad that winter has finally arrived, though we're going to have some pretty cold temperatures here coming in this next week. I guess it's going to be down around zero tonight. But hey, it's winter in New England. And us New Englanders, most of us look forward to it. And those who don't, take off down south. So engrossed in my notes that I didn't realize the song was about, my opening song was about coming to a close. And I'm like, oh no. And so the dog that you're hearing in the background is my dad's dog, and his name is Fuzzy, and he is a Yorkshire Terrier. Excuse me one minute. Fuzz,
Fuzzy, there's nobody there. Fuzzy. So he's been with me since Thursday. I was supposed to pick him up on Friday, but because we were having a big winter storm on Friday, I picked him up a day early. And he's been here on Thursday, and he's going home today because his mommy and daddy are coming back from their trip today. And I've loved having him here, and it's made me realize how much I miss having a dog. I've always had a dog pretty much the entire time, my whole life. We always had dogs growing up, and when I went out on my own, I've always had a dog. But, you know, last year I lost my sweet Alice, who was my brother's dog, who I inherited when he passed, and wonderful, wonderful Band-Aid, and really the best little healer dog. And she became the healer dog in the office. She'd know when a client needed some extra loving and attention, and she would sit on their lap, and she wouldn't leave until their session was finished. It was really pretty amazing. And because Alice's story is, and this does tie into today's topic about sadness and happiness. See, because Alice's story was, she was born out of a creation of an accident. She was my mother's Pomeranian and my brother James's Minpin's accident. And she was the cutest little thing. In fact, one of these days I should put a picture of her up on the slideshow so you guys can all see her. So she was the cutest little thing. So when I got her, she was 13, almost 14. And my brother, if you've listened to the show before, you would know that my brother had committed suicide on June 22nd, 2013. And none of his kids nor his estranged wife wanted the dog. So I ended up inheriting the dog. And when she came to me, she had this reputation of being, her nickname was the Island Park Terrorist. And Island Park is the neighborhood that my brother lived in. And everybody knew Alice in the neighborhood. And so Alice, if I would go over to the house, like one time I went over, I left my camera there. And so I had gone over to get my camera. And I thought, well, she's been in the house all day. I'm going to let her out so she can go to the bathroom, whatever, do her thing. And I let her out, and then I couldn't get her back in the house. So sorry, I can hear my phone ringing somewhere, but I can't find it. Okay, let me shut this off. So I couldn't get her back in the house. And now, she only liked my brother. She would bite anybody that came near my brother, including his girlfriend. He had been separated from his wife for quite some time, and they were just waiting to get divorced. So, you couldn't get near my brother, and you couldn't get near Alice at all. And we had a birthday party for James at the house a couple of weeks before he passed away. And our older brother, Kevin's girlfriend, picked Alice up, and Alice split her head open. Shelly's head open, not Alice's head. She did not like people. So I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do with this 12-pound terrorist who hates everybody, including me? And I thought, well, I'm just going to have to, you know, deal with it. And I'm going to treat her just like I would treat any of my own dogs. And so I decided that Alice was going to become socialized at 13 years old, because she lived behind, my brother had his big fence and yard, but it was a big stockade fence. And she couldn't see the world outside of the fence. She had a cat who was her best friend. Buddy. And, you know, over the years, my brother had other dogs, and she actually had a litter of puppies at one point, but she outlived all of her puppies. And So she was good with other animals. She just hated people. So I decided that I was, you know, going to have to work with it and see what happens. And so it took about 2 weeks because the poor thing was in such trauma because suddenly she's taken from our house that she's the only house she ever knew. My brother is suddenly gone, who was her best buddy. And now she gets noosed by the animal control because when they tried to, the rescue came in to help my brother, she wouldn't let the rescue near my brother. So they had to noose this 13-pound dog to get her out, 12-pound dog, 13 years old, to get her out so they could attend to my brother's medical needs. And so, and then she ends up at the shelter because they couldn't just leave her there. And, so here, this begins her new life. Talk about chaotic, right? So how do you have situations in your life like this? Have you had this kind of chaos in your life? I sure have, where my whole life has been uprooted and things change. And how do you adapt to it? How do you deal with the emotions of it and the feelings of it? Oftentimes, we get so caught up in the emotions, which the emotion is a brain function, and a feeling is a body function. Oftentimes, we put a name to an emotion like sadness or happiness, but we never actually qualify that and bring it into what the deeper feeling is, because feeling is where the truth is. You can say, oh, I'm very sad today. But really, what does that mean? What does that mean? Right? It's when you get into the feeling, I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling overwhelmed. That's where you can start doing some work and working with that. When you're just on the layer surface in the mind and in the emotion, it's tricky to shift things around, right? So you got to go deeper. You have to go into the feeling. So if you're feeling, and this works both for sadness and happiness, right? So if you're feeling happiness, just take a breath in, close your eyes, feel your body, and say, okay, what is this happiness? What am I happy about? What am I feeling? I'm feeling joy. I'm feeling jubilation. I'm feeling alive. I'm feeling amazing. Just sitting here, looking out my windows at this beautiful winter day, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the world around me. When you can get into that place, and even with feeling sad, so you go into the, I'm feeling sad. Well, then ask, okay, so what does that feel like? What does sad feel like? It feels empty. Feel lonely. I feel tired. Okay. And then what can you do about that? So then you can say, all right, so now I have more specifics. So I'm feeling lonely. So what could you do if you're feeling lonely? You could call up a friend and say, hey, I'd love to go out for coffee. Right? You could go to the shelter and play with some cats or dogs. Especially dogs that give you such unconditional love. You could volunteer. Do something at your local school. There's so many things. So once you can identify the feeling, then you can work with that feeling. So keep in mind that your feelings, excuse me, fuzzy. There's my neighbor on the other side of the street, which is probably about, oh, I don't know, two, 200 feet away, is out in the driveway, and Fuzzy can see him. So he's barking because he can see the neighbor. And I might have to put him in the other room, which means I'd have to run upstairs because downstairs I don't have any. It's just one big open space. There's no doors to contain him in a room. So going back to the feeling, and so lean into your feeling. Lean into it. Okay. So go beyond the emotion and go into your feeling. Ask yourself, what am I feeling in this moment? Breathe into your heart. It's when you learn how to breathe into different body parts, you think, how do you do that? You're breathing through your nose, it goes into your lungs, right? Yes, true. However, you can create a breathing through different parts of your body by intention. So if you were to do breathing into your heart, you just, you know, relax, sit wherever you're at. And as you're breathing in, you just imagine and visualize the breath going right into your heart. And you can feel the difference when you breathe intentionally into different places of your body. So breathe into your heart. And when you're breathing in, feel the joy of being able to breathe. Feel the gratitude of being here on this planet, on this, in this earth, in this time and space and dimension. You know, we have our own stressors, of course, that come with this time being in the world. Okay, excuse me. Fuzzy, come over here. Fuzzy. So we have our own challenges being here in this time of the world. And you know, we have to work harder than ever to pretty much just maintain, you know, a roof over our heads and have our needs met. I mean, there are a lot of people out there in the States and in a lot of other countries now that have more than just their basic needs. And we've become accustomed to having more. And it gets to be a tricky thing because sometimes you can feel like you're not abundant and you don't have enough. But if you look around you, you have more than 90% of the people in the world. So really take that in. Really take that in. There are so many people who don't even have the simple of water, fresh water. I think the number, I could be wrong on this, but I think it's something like as high as 20% of the population does not have access to fresh water. And when we look at our ancestors, you know, just 40 or 50 years ago, they didn't have everything that we have now. And if we go back a little bit further than that, I mean, my grandparents had an outhouse in the 1940s up until almost 1950. They didn't have running plumbing in the house. And that wasn't that long ago. And 100 years ago, nobody had indoor plumbing. If you had indoor plumbing, you were really, really rich. So our lives are abundant and rich in so many more ways than that of our ancestors. But we have our own challenges. We have the challenge of having to work so hard. And they worked hard, but they worked hard in a different way. Maybe that they had a farm. My grandmother had always had a big garden, and she canned and all her own vegetables. I don't know why they call it canning, because you don't actually put the stuff in a can. You put it in a jar. They should call it jarring fruit or vegetables, but they call it canning. So there was always a big shelving unit in the basement that had all kinds of food on it that she had put up for the winter. And they had pigs, and they would, you know, take a pig and have it sent into the slaughterhouse and have that done up for the winter. And they worked hard, but they worked hard in a different way. Now we work hard, and our lives have so much stress in them typically. because we're you know, running the rat race, trying to live the American dream. And it's impossible to live that American dream now unless you're making, you know, $25 or $30 or $40 an hour. And who's doing that? So many people are working two or three jobs. You know, I know a lot of people that are working multiple part-time jobs because when the market crashed back in 2008, they lost their job or they lost it shortly thereafter due to downsizing or whatever. And then when they tried to find work, they could never go back into full-time work. I mean, Dave has been in a part-time job now for a year and a half. He had a business. And when he got divorced, Dave is my partner. When he actually had been divorced for several years, but when the property finally settled and he got bought out of his business by his former wife, it was originally her parents' business. And so they decided that, you know, in fairness, it would be fair for her to take the business back since it was her family's business originally. And he can't find full-time work. He's been working part-time for the last year and a half. And it's hard for a guy, especially, you know, I can see that he's kind of depressed about it. And he's, you know, really starting to show that he's not living his life's purpose. And that happens if you're not happy. If you're not living your life's purpose, you're not going to be truly happy. Right? So how do you find your life's purpose? Figure out who you are, what your profile is. And I talk about profiles a lot because profiles and the program of Rhys Thomas and his Rhys Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, his profiles and his vows have changed my life dramatically. And I've done a lot of programs. I've taken a lot of classes and a lot of trainings, and I always said that I felt like there was something missing out of all these other teachings, any other healing, all the other healing modalities and so forth, and I felt like they're not a complete teaching, and I've said that for years until I found Rhys's work. So if you are not familiar with the profiles, look Rhys up on YouTube, watch some of his videos, get his book, Discover Your Purpose. It's really mistitled. That is how you find your life's work, is knowing who you are. That's the key. That's the real key. So if you're in your midlife crisis, or Rhys calls it your midlife calling, which I like so much better. You can have that at any age. Mine hit at like 36, where I said, there's got to be something better. And I started this quest. It started earlier than that. I really started searching for something bigger or better in my 20s, with bigger meaning of life. Where are you in your life? What are you searching for? Are you searching for that something better? Are you searching for that secret sauce, that meaning? What does your life mean? What have you come here to do? At 51, I'm finally really diving in and embracing what I have come here to do. And, you know, I've been doing psychic work for a long time, but never wholeheartedly. And even another layer on top of that was I always knew that I was meant to be a teacher. And I even tried teaching at elementary school, where I would be the assistant teacher. And I did that. Oh, my God. I lasted a whole week. So I thought, okay, well, obviously I'm not supposed to be this kind of teacher. But I've always known that I had a calling to be a teacher. I just didn't know what kind of teacher. And, you know, back then, I didn't realize that there were other kinds of teachers. You can teach things like self-help. You can teach things like spirituality. I didn't know that in my early 20s, right? But yet again, I was going to workshops. Go figure that out. I don't know. So when I was able to really embrace that my gifts, not only the psychic and the mediumship, but also that I am a teacher. And it's really interesting because we do all these charts and things at school, at the Healer School, where you really get to fine tune and really take a look at yourself on such a deep, deep level to figure out all your layers. And this is a process that, you know, even the teachers at the school, some of them who have been there since the beginning, still are always looking for something more. And when I say looking for something more, looking deeper within themselves. They're always changing their charts. So we have these charts and that are based on our profiles. You have a primary profile, a secondary profile, and then you have a profile in every chakra. So most of you probably know, if you're listening to the show, you know about chakras. And, they're the energy centers. There's 7 that are physical chakras that we have. And then there are 5 spiritual chakras as well. And each chakra has a profile. And each chakra also has an archetype. And so we've decided that my life purpose archetype and my life purpose point is a bartender. And the funny thing is, because we will tend to do things without even knowing it, when it's our life purpose, right? Our spiritual life purpose or physical life purpose. So my physical life purpose is the bartender. So what does the bartender do? The bartender serves people. The bartender listens to people. The bartender counsels people, right? I do all of that. And when I was 15, in my very first job, I used to bartend on Sundays from 9 a.m. till 12. And I was always said to the owner said, if anybody comes in the bar that you don't know, get out from behind the bar and say you are just getting a soda. Even at that age, I wasn't aware, but my physical life purpose is a bartender. And once a year, I do a fundraiser. I volunteer at a fundraising event and I tend bar. And it's very interesting because I have always been so opposed to alcohol because I come from a long line of alcoholic people in my family. And I've always felt that alcohol ruins families and ruins people's lives. And so I'd always been so opposed to it. But what I found bartending is I could counsel people over the bar. And I actually got one guy who belongs to this men's club that my brother and Dave both belong to, and both my brothers had belonged there, whose family has a long history of drinking and alcoholism. I got this one guy to stop drinking, and he hasn't had a drink in over 6 years. So how amazing is that, right? Because I listen to people. And then I ask them questions about their life. Because all we really want is to be seen, to be heard, to be understood, and to be loved, right? So if we're feeling sad or we're feeling happy, if you're feeling sad, you're feeling not seen. You're feeling maybe misunderstood. You're feeling unloved, right? So you've got to get to the feeling. Look beyond the emotion. And look to the feeling. Why am I feeling this? What am I feeling? And the same thing with happiness. Important to look at both sides of the coin. Because the world is dual. It's a dual world. And, you know, the yin and the yang, where you have perfect balance, the dark and the light. If you have only light, there's not balance. If you have only dark, there's not balance. And so there'll always be perfect balance. You'll have the dark and you'll have the light. Because if you only saw the light, then you wouldn't have a concept of the dark, right? We have sunlight, we have moonlight. We have day, we have night. And because we're human people and we have three different types of brain in our brain, you know, we've got the animal brain and then we've got the cerebral cortex. And so as we evolve, our brain changes. But we'll always have duality. And I came to a place this week where, which makes me feel sad, that I realize that we may never have peace in this world. As much as so many of us want it, it's a dual world. And we wouldn't even know we wanted peace if we didn't see the dark side of war. Right? Hopefully someday our brains will be evolved enough that we can have peace and just live in a peaceful planet. Hopefully. Hopefully in our lifetimes we'll see that. It's going to take a lot more of us to become awake and aware and conscious and to be living our lives consciously. All right, so I'm going to go to the phone lines because there have been some callers on there who have been waiting since way before the show even started. I'm so excited when I see people on the call line and people in the chat room. All right, so when I pick you up, I want you to tell me your name, where you're calling from, and what you're feeling grateful about or sad or happy about. And so the first caller, the area code is 908, and the last four digits are 0700. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Cynthia Fontaine and Transforming Your Life.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm really well, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's still no problem.
Tell me your name.
I enjoyed your conversation. Simone.
Simone. Okay, Simone.
Yes. The question is, I have a friend, okay? He's diagnosed with cancer. So I'm kind of feeling kind of sad. You know, he told me at the last minute he's in stage four. I'm trying to see like where he told me at the end and trying to see like, is he telling me something or he's just need someone to talk to lean on. And I've been feeling sad all day. So I'm just trying to see what is it.
Okay. So, I'd like you to clarify the question a little bit. When you're asking what is it, is the question that you're asking, is he at the end stages of life? Is that the question?
Yes.
Okay. So let me just say that I get this question often. And I have seen people who have been diagnosed. I have a longtime student who is the classic example of this, where she, when I first met her 13 years ago, almost 14 years ago now, she had been at Dana-Farber in Boston, and she had stage 4 uterine cancer, and they had sent her home 2 weeks prior and said, go make your final arrangements. You have at 4 to 6 at best. And so I met her 2 weeks after they had sent her home, and I said to her, don't believe what they say. You're going to make it. And she's still with us almost 14 years later. So that being said, I never like to predict someone's end stages of life, because it's not between me and it's between them and God. And a miracle can happen anytime. You know, when you look, are you familiar with Anita Marjani? from Hay House?
No.
All right. Well, Anita Marjani's story is she was at the point in her stage of cancer where she was dying, where she was in the hospital. They had given her the last rites, and she had left her body, and she saw everybody in the room, and she went to the other side, and she had a miracle healing. And she came back, and she wasn't expected to live through the day. And mm-hmm. now she is a Hay House speaker and author and, you know, inspiration for millions of people out there. So just tell me your friend's name, please.
Carlos.
Carlos, okay. So that being said, first I have to ask permission. If I can even look at Carlos's health and chart. Now, remember, I'm not God. You know, there's always the chance that things can change, okay?
Okay. Mhm.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'm not getting permission to look at his health.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I just met him 2 weeks ago, and I was trying to see what was the purpose he came in my life.
Right. Okay. So, what my guides are saying is, talk to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, say, what is it that you need from me? How can I help you? If you're inclined to do that, he has come into your life to give you a gift, is what my guides are saying. So they're holding out this little present, this little box wrapped with a beautiful bow. And so his presence in your life is going to bring you a gift, okay? And so sometimes we have to really look for the gift, and we don't understand all the gifts in the moment, and especially in the sadness and the grief. You know, I didn't recognize or understand the gift from my brother James, you know, after he passed away, and I'm still receiving gifts, new gifts all the time from him and in my life. As hard as that was the most difficult situation that I've ever dealt with in my life. And I've had some pretty horrific things happen to me. when you hear my story, and I talked about my story, I think about 2 weeks ago on the show, and I didn't even, that wasn't even all of it, right? So, but it's not my story. It's not for the first part. You must be in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I recognize that because it's funny. Brian Weiss, I remember he was doing a interview for a news report. I can't remember which news anchor it was, but he regressed her on the station, and they were in New York City, and the sirens were going past the window and everything. Anyway, that brought up a fond memory. So when you say sadness, it's really a good idea to qualify that a little bit deeper. Because sadness is what the brain tells you you're feeling. So if you were to just close your eyes for a moment and breathe into your body and ask your body, what is it feeling around the subject of Carlos, what is it feeling? What do you come up with? A word might pop into your head, or just a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
What comes up?
Repeat that one more time. There's a bunch of noise out here. Yeah, one more time.
Yeah, there is a lot of background noise on there. Okay, so if you just were to close your eyes for a moment.
Uh-huh.
And then breathe in, and as you're breathing in, ask your body, what are you feeling when I'm thinking about Carlos? What are you feeling? Is it grief? Is it despair? What is it?
Fear.
Fear, okay.
Yes.
Okay. And where in your life have you felt fear? prior to this?
With my son when he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like my brother, he's like in a coma. He's in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be, you know, having fear about different things.
Sure. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Okay. So with your son when he was sick, how was it the best thing that ever happened, and how was it the worst thing that ever happened?
Well, he's a diabetic, and sometimes he goes into his little sugar comas or whatever.
Sure.
Then, like, you know, when you give him candy or give him some juice, it calms it down. So that
right.
makes me feel better when I know it's calmed down. When it goes up, I get fear. I get scared.
Sure. Okay. And so, digging a little bit deeper, is the fear around losing people that you love?
Yes.
Okay. And where was the first time, when was the first time you felt the fear?
Don't it was think like a couple of years ago.
Okay, there's something.
But now it's more.
But this is even before, because what happens is we lodge these emotions, these feelings into our body, and it's they always go back to a young age.
Mm.
Okay. So when we try to think about it, we think, oh, when was that? Okay, but when we feel it, and we just go, when was the first time you felt fear of losing somebody in my life? A name and an age will pop into your head, or maybe even just an age. And I'll give you an example. One of my cousins she's really reckless. She does things that are really risky, and she drives, you know, really fast, like 100 miles an hour, and does really things that are risky. And I was at her house one day with a group of people at a party, and I looked at her and I said, oh, my God. I said, this is connected directly to a time when you were a child that you had a loss that was sudden for you. And I didn't know about this at the time because I was a little kid too. I said, so you had a sudden loss that you didn't understand. And I said, what was that? And she said, oh, my God, when I was 5, my aunt Lil died. And this wasn't a blood relative, but it was a neighbor that they called her the aunt. And they didn't let her see her. And so she's had this underlying fear that people could just disappear out of her life. Or that she could just disappear like Aunt Lil. So she does things that are really risky. Okay. So, but she wasn't consciously aware of it until we talked about it.
Oh, okay.
So if you just breathe into it and say, when was the first time I felt the fear of losing the people I love in my life? Just allow it to come. And, you know, and if you can't get it right now, that's okay. It's something that you can work with, okay?
Okay.
And the duality of this life is that we're going to lose people that we love, right? So the key is to try to be in the present moment. So when you're feeling the fear, you're feeling sad, come back to the present moment and say, what is the reality right now in this moment?
Okay.
What is the reality right now in this moment? We really only have this moment in time. We never know from 1 minute to the next.
Yeah.
And so this is where coming back to the present moment is really, really helpful, and it's key. And it will help you to stay more centered and be more present for your friend and for your son. And so when things come up, you know, when your son's sugar drops and you're feeling fear, just come back to the present moment. Feel your feet standing on the ground. That's a good one that I like. I'll even have people, you know, stomp their feet hard on the ground and say, okay, uh-huh. I'm standing here right now. I'm present in this moment. And then you can deal with, helping your son in a more centered way. And that's also that energy is going to stretch out to your son and to the other people who you're with, and it's going to help them become calmer and more centered as well. Okay. And that's really the key to having good health in your life, good mental health, okay, is coming back into the present moment, because the mind is always taking us to the past and it's taking us to the future. And what it does is it takes all of our experiences from the past, all our references that we've had around, say, we'll use fear, and it brings it forward and it projects to the future, looking for more things to be fearful about and even bigger things. So it's always expecting the worst. So when you can get out of the mind and come into the present mm-hmm. moment, meditation is a wonderful thing. And you even just 2 or 3 minutes a day of conscious breathing, say, I'm breathing in and I'm breathing mm-hmm. out. That is enough to quiet the mind and put you in a more centered place, okay? So with Carlos, what my guides are saying is he's going to give you the gift of learning how to stay present in the moment.
Mm.
And just be present with him.
Okay.
Okay. And that's going to be his gift to you. And they're saying that this is going to be a lifelong blessing for you.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be a lifelong blessing for you. Okay. So the best thing is when, if you're in his company, if you're having coffee, whatever, just be mm-hmm. present. Just be present.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Just be present, and it is going to be a lifelong blessing for you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
And it's going to help you handle the big things in your life, in mm-hmm. a more centered way. You're going to be able to get through the big things a little bit easier. You've had some pretty big things in your life as well, I can see. Yeah, I can see that, honey. And I'm sending you a big hug because I can see it's not been easy for you.
Yeah.
So know that I can feel that. I can see that. And I'm really sending you a lot of love right now. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
So you take care of yourself and feel, know that it's okay if someone asks more of you than you can give to say no, even someone who, like Carlos, if someone's in your life that is very ill, the key is not to feel guilty, but be honest, okay?
Okay, okay.
Because I feel like that you do, but I don't see a lot of asking, what Simone needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I really like you to start asking, what do I need in this moment? What do I need in this moment? Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I send you lots of blessings, honey.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. You as well. Bye-bye. I love callers and working with people, and it's part of my, I have a servant archetype in my first chakra, and that's your tribe, your root, your family, right? And I really feel like the people who I'm so blessed that I work with that come into my life are part of my family. You're part of like my soul family, right? Because we come into contact and into relationship with people who were supposed to be, just like Simone with Carlos, just meeting him 2 weeks ago with stage 4 cancer. There's a reason. There's a reason for it. And sometimes the reason is simple. Sometimes it's really simple. All right, so I'm going to go to the next caller, and it's again area code 908, and the last 4 digits are 6538. Okay. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Cynthia Fontaine. Who's this, please?
Yes. Hi. How are you? My name is Tina.
Hi, Tina. How are you today, honey?
I am excellent. You are such a beautiful soul. Thank you.
Oh, so much. And I'm so, I want to thank you for holding on the line so long. You've been on hold for a long time.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you. I would like to ask, what is the purpose of my friend Robert in my life?
Your son, Robert.
My friend Robert.
Oh, your friend Robert. Okay. So, do you have two sons, though?
I have one son.
Okay. And how old is he now?
11.
Okay. I was going to say 12.
Yeah. Oh, so, please leave it to him. Yes, he is 12. He's saying that.
Okay. Okay, good. That's great. I love that. So that's a great confirmation for me because I heard 12.
Because he believes he's 12. Every day I say, how old are you? He say 12.
Well, there you go. And that's awesome. And, you know, what you feel is what you believe, right? So there, what you believe is what you get. That's awesome. Okay. So, and what's your son's name? Because I don't know if my guys want to talk about your son. But
Najim. His name is Najim.
Najim?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay. It's so funny. Now, is he right there with you?
No, he's in school. He needs to be. He's big. He needs to be right in school.
Okay, all right, okay. But he's a funny kid, they're saying. You know?
Oh my God, he is a comedian. That's my entertainment every day.
Oh yeah. He is a funny, funny kid. And he do like these little skits and like he slides across the floor and does all these cool moves.
Yes.
And stuff.
Oh my God, you're gonna live long. We do skits every day. Yes, that is what we do.
Awesome. Oh my God, it's funny. So my God. So I see pictures, so my guys are showing me, like, you know, all these skits and, like, all these crazy things. It's great. It's really great.
Oh, God, yeah. See, that's my little comedian, yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So keep encouraging that, you know, because he has a gift to make people laugh, and he's not even in the room, and look at you laughing so much, right, just talking about
it. Yeah.
So he's really gifted in helping people to laugh and see the silly side of life, right? So keep encouraging that. Don't let that fall down, fall aside, because they're saying, like, you know, when he's like around 15, okay, so this is important. I know it's important. So like when he's around 15, know that he might experience some stuff in his life that where he starts to lose that humor a little bit, okay? So always be there to, you know, to remind him of who he is, okay? Because he is here. He is here to bring the gift of laughter and happiness to people and remind him that life can be hard sometimes, but it's really important not to lose who he is.
Yes.
Okay? And I want to talk about his dad. Does he see his dad?
Not really.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's a hard piece for him, you know. And so you can only do and be what you can be. And I've been a single mom for almost 19 years now, so I totally understand, you know. And I raised
His father's a terrible person. Makes terrible choices.
Yeah, and my ex-husband as well, you know, and so I get it, but that, you know, kids can be affected by that still, and it does affect him because, you know, he just is like, why can't he just be, you know, like a normal person?
Yes.
You know, and so you can't explain it, you can't make up stories for it, you can't, you can't do anything to explain away the dad's behavior, right?
Yeah,
so all you can do is say, honey, we don't know why he is the way he is, but you know that no matter what, you came here as the beautiful person you are, you know, through the gift of him being the one that, you know, that you chose to be here. And so let's look for the gifts in it. Okay. Let's look for the gifts.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. But can I find out about Robert? Yes, yeah, my son and the father, I understand that. But yes, can we? Robert is the icing on the cake. Yes, can we find out?
Right.
Well, you know, thank you.
Mike, because my guides will take you to the place what that you really need to talk about.
Oh.
Okay.
I just stopped. No, but I finally just stopped talking about that father. So I'm in a good place right now. Thank you, guys.
Right, father.
I finally graduated from that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But I think your son will lean more support around that. Okay, so that's why.
Well, we will pray for that father. Yes, we will pray for the father. Okay.
Well, you know, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. I'm a minister.
I pray all day. I'm a minister. We pray all day and shut in the church, yep. And we read the Bible and have devotion. So I am over. Okay. I am prayed up. I have $1 million prayer bank account. I pray more than the average human being. I do. I really do.
I can see that.
Yeah,
sure.
I really do.
So, all right. So let's look at Robert.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I got to end the show in a couple of minutes. So what I can do, if you'd like, is I can close the show out and keep you on the line.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, no problem. All right. So looking at Robert, is he about 37?
He's older than that, but his mind is, his spirit is younger. Yes.
Okay. And how old are you, honey, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 39.
Oh, you're 39. Okay, because they want to talk about the age of 37. What happened at 37 for you? Because that's where they want to go.
I left the father alone. Like, I woke up spiritually.
Okay. Okay. All right, there we go. All right, so, hold that thought. I'm going to close the show, okay?
Thank you.
I'll be back in just a couple minutes. So hold that thought.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, this is Cynthia Fontaine. And transforming your life. I'm so glad that you joined me today, and I'm so blessed for all the amazing and wonderful people that I have in my life, including you. Check out my website, cynthiafontaine.com, CynthiaFontaine. You can find my social media links there, and send me a message on Facebook and let me know what topic you'd like to hear me talk about. Now, tomorrow is my last show of my 30-day challenge of being on the air every day, but I am going to continue my show, my weekly show, and go back to my original format. And it's looking like I'm going to be on the air on Wednesdays right now, and I will definitely clear that up. I will let you know tomorrow for sure, but it's looking like it's going to be Wednesday. All right, you guys, I love you all so much. Tomorrow is party day. I'm going to have cake and coffee here. If anybody's local and wants to join me, come on by. It's a celebration for making the 30-day challenge. I love you all so very much, and I will see you tomorrow. Yeah, hold on.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. One day you
Hold on.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yes, okay, cool, sorry. I just had to let the music finish. All right, we're off the air. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. All right, so looking at Robert. Okay, so my guys want to talk about when you were 37 and the shift that happened then. Did your husband just move out of the house then?
We kind of ended it around there.
Yeah, but you stayed in the same place, is that right? You didn't move?
Yes, I stayed in the same place.
Okay, because that's what they're showing me, that he was the one that left, that you stayed in the same place. Okay.
Yes.
And so they're just giving me some details here. And so looking at that, I'm asking questions when I'm quiet.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Okay. So I'm just seeing where they're bringing me to the connection to Robert. Are you divorced?
We were never married.
Oh, you were never married. Okay, because they're saying that it's not clear that they're not showing me the clear cut, you know, where the divorce papers ever happened. So that makes sense then, because you never had papers to start with. Okay.
Nope.
All right, because I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't see any divorce papers. Like, okay, so what's the deal with that? Mm-mm. All right, okay, so that makes sense then. Okay. I feel like he's going to come back around, though. I hate to say it, but I feel like he's going to show back up again. And so looking at Robert, have you known him for a few months now?
I've known him for a while, but we've been talking for a few months, yes.
Okay, because they're showing me that, you know, the relationship is sort of blossoming in the last few months. And, I mean, he looks like a good guy. Has he been divorced twice or once?
Twice.
Yeah, because they're showing me divorced twice. and that he's got a few kids.
Yes.
And he's got some skeletons in his closet, is what they're
saying. A lot of skeletons in the closet, yeah.
He's got some skeletons in the closet. I mean, yep. You know, we all have some skeletons in the closet when it comes right down to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he's got some skeletons in the closet. He does not want to be revealed.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Okay. And yes. and you're like this investigator. You want to open that closet door and let those skeletons out.
It's okay. I know what skeletons are in there. I know. I understand.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You're as funny as your son, honestly. So, like, your mission is much like mine, where your mission is to get to the soul of people, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what my guys are saying is, with Robert, don't be his minister or his mother. Okay? Don't be his minister or his mother. For this relationship to progress, you got to be his lover, not his minister and not his mother. Okay? It's really hard when we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go there. Because, like, oh, girl, she is ministering him. Like, tomorrow.
They tell her all the business. I did. I've been singing to him and leaving him scriptures. Boy, tell her all the business. They tell him that all.
Oh, they don't hold back the punches.
They don't hold back at all. They are in my closet. Let me move some confidence around. They singing too much in my closet. Let me go close my closet door.
Right?
I'm doing everything that they said I'm doing. Oh my God. I was looking guilty. I was backing away from my own phone like a fugitive. But I had to keep listening to what you were saying.
Oh,
I was backing away from my own phone like El Chapo. I was like, let me get off this phone, but let me finish hearing what she's saying.
Oh, my God. I love that. Oh, my God. I have the best. I have. Oh, my God. I have the best callers that call into the show.
I'm backing away from my old phone like El Chapo.
Hold on, awesome. Let me get up. Oh, my God. I love that. That is awesome. Honey, you got to write you got to write like a one or two line testimonial for my website around that.
She will find your business like Saddam Hussein in that hole. Cynthia Fontaine will get to the bottom of any situation, okay?
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Do me a favor. Message me that, will you? That's awesome.
You will. I start looking guilty as you start talking. I'm like, can I hang up now? But I want to hear what she. I want to finish hearing what she's saying.
Right. Oh, that is awesome. Okay. So what they're saying is it's fine to pray together as long as that's what he wants to do. Okay. So it's fine to pray together, and having that in common. That's a beautiful thing. But. That being said, make sure you are not ministering that boy. Okay?
Okay, so I'm going to stop ministering now?
Stop ministering him. If you want to be with him, you just got to love him up, honey.
But it seems like he's afraid. Is he afraid of love?
Yeah, because he's got so many skeletons in his closet, you know? And the thing is, it's... I don't want to say he made bad choices with women.
He did.
You know, it's just like, but it. When we say we made bad choices, we made the right choice because it gave us some kind of soul growth. That's the whole thing with relationships, right? It's really for us to give us a chance to dig deeper and look at who we really are.
Mm.
Okay, and what makes us tick. Because it's never about the other person. It's always about us. So that's the point they want to bring around to you is it's about this relationship is about you. Even when you're in a relationship with another person, it's always about you. Okay?
But what am I supposed to be learning from him? Why do we come into each other's lives?
Well, you come into each other's lives because he's a kind guy, right? It looks like he's got good manners.
Yes, he treats
you very well, and you didn't get that with the other guy, right? You didn't get that with
yes,
your son's
God.
Father.
No, I
you know?
Didn't.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm going to slap you around is what they're saying to me, you know?
Oh, my God, he was a terrible person. Yes, he was.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, let's just slap her around a little bit. Okay. Mm-hmm. This guy, he's a more gentle-mannered soul, you know? He's a little gun shy, I gotta say, you know. You guys already been down the hallway?
Been the hallway? No.
You guys already been down the hallway?
No, we didn't even open the door.
Okay. They're showing me the hallway.
No, he's sexy, but no, we haven't done that. That's my ministering to him.
Okay. All right, good. So if you want to continue that relationship on that level, that's totally fine. Okay. However,
no, I would like for it to be marriage. I just was taking time. That's why I was asking what was our purpose in each other's lives because he has so many skeletons in his closet, but he's a really nice guy, but I understand him and I don't judge him.
Yeah, he is a really nice guy, and he's very lucky and blessed to have you in his life because you don't judge. And he's not used to that. He's used to women who are crazy people, right? Like, you know the women that get up in your face and they're like yelling at you and like they're crazy.
No, I'm not doing that with him. I don't do that.
No, but he's experienced that in his life, and so his fear, one of his fears is like they all get crazy. Right? Okay. They all get crazy. And so, you know, he's not perfect. None of us are, right? He's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So his whole purpose coming into your life is to show you that, you know, you deserve kindness and caring in your life. You give and give and give.
so much to others. You know, it's like, but your well is so full. You have so much to give. And his purpose, yes, purpose is to come and to give some of that back to you, to help you fill your well. Okay.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, it's to help you fill your well. And so, but for the relationship to shift, if you want it to go in a more intimate connection, and I don't mean spiritual intimacy, because you guys are pretty spiritually intimate. If you don't want it to go into more more intimate direction.
If we
want
to walk down the hall.
If you want to walk down the hall, you're going to have to stop ministering that boy.
That is hilarious. What angel told on me?
Because they're like, she wants to go down that hall.
No, but I done scriptured him. You're right. I have sent him probably 22 scriptures this week. Yes, I did.
Yeah. So he's loving the attention, you know. But if you want to walk down the hall with him, you got to stop ministering him.
Well, is he ready to be faithful? And then one, you know, because I've been abstinent now for quite some time,
yeah,
2 years, and that I just wanted to make sure it's right, since I didn't really pay attention with my son's father, and I just went by look. He's a nice looking guy, but like
right,
you said, he's just, I don't know why he's like, I have to pray now, so I'm going to make sure this person is right, and that's what I'm doing with Robert.
Right, sure. It's good to ask the deeper questions and not, you know, not just with me, but with him as well. And really, you've got a good sensor, you know, you've got a good intuitive gut. And yeah, so, you know, you really need to pay attention to that and follow that, because you're good at ignoring it too. Like, oh no, because you, like me, will give people a million and ten chances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, no, they wouldn't. No, they.
So
you
is
know,
Robert
and
ready? So is Robert ready for a monogamous relationship?
No, sorry.
Oh, so what is he doing? Is he seeing other people?
That's kind of a broad question. So I'm not going to say that he's like seeing other people, but I feel like he does talk to other women.
Yeah.
He's not ready for a monogamous relationship. He doesn't really know what he wants. So for you, if that's what you're looking for, if that's the bottom line and the end game of what you're looking for, he might not be the guy to be doing it with, okay?
Mm. Well, do they see when he'll be ready for a relationship?
No.
Oh.
No. Yeah, no, he does have, and they're going back to the closet, you know, so he's got a lot of skeletons in the closet, and I, you know, I feel like that he might have some in his past where, you know, there was a little footsie tootin' going around, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and honey, it's not going to change.
No?
No, I don't think so. No. You know, it's all good at first and you know, it all looks good. He talks a good story, but eventually he goes off. And what they're showing me is that it's really in his birth chart, okay? Where it's in his birth chart. And it's not going to be until he's much older where that is sort of going to shift a little bit and come back around. And only because, you know, when you get older, you can only do so much.
So is it his birth chart to be alone?
Nope. He'll always have women around him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so he'll always have women around. It's not in his birth chart to be alone. But he's got the wandering spirit in his birth chart. So, you know, it's really up to you if you want to, how long you want to, you know, minister him for. Do you want to take the walk down the hallway? But knowing that
just stay as long as it's good for, and then walk away when you see the red flags, or don't go there.
Because I don't want to be crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why the women in his life get crazy. Okay. But they're saying that you kind of knew this, though. Is that right?
I know how he is. That's why I was trying to pray on it. That's why I was bringing God into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know, God gives us free will and free choice, you know?
Mm.
So it's up to you now what you're going to do with it. You can't change him.
I don't want to. I just want, aw. Okay, does he want more children?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. He's already got a handful, though.
He has three.
Yeah. I mean, he does have, he's got four or five kids that he charted for.
Oh.
Which is, yeah. So, but that doesn't always mean that, you know, even if you chart for that many kids, you know, we again have free choice and free will, and it doesn't always mean that that comes to pass, but often it will, often it does, but he's got four, they're saying four or five kids that he charted for. He does like young people, you know?
Yeah.
He does like young people. He likes, you know, he does, he's not somebody who hates kids being around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does like having kids around, having young people around. He does like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So just know, honey, that he's, you know, the sheep isn't going to change his clothes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then you figure out, okay, so now which way do I want to go with this relationship? Do I want to go down the hall and know that, at any point I can walk away? Of course, you know, we get involved emotionally, and it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what, start asking yourself, why would I be attracted to this? How does it look like anything in my past? Okay. Because the mind is always going to try to keep recreating the past.
Mm.
Okay. So praying is asking for something we need or want, sending the messages up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meditating is allowing the messages to be delivered and received.
Well, I have a friend named Sean that wanted us to move in together and wanted us to have a baby. Do you see what that was about?
Oh, he thinks you are hot.
That's question.
Okay. He thinks you are hot. All right. I do gotta wrap up though, because I have somebody coming in a couple minutes. But yeah, he thinks you are hot. And so my guys are like, honey, she's got guys who will line up to see her, you know? So, so they're like, they're all in the wing waiting, right?
Mm.
But you've kept the door closed. Because you're trying to save the world. You know, you tried to save your partner, your son's father, right?
I did try to save him, but I'm totally over him now.
Yeah, but the thing is, bring people in. Open the door to people who don't need saving.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
Sean wants to get married. He wanted us to move in together and get married. I mean, he set a pregnancy date. I was just like, why is he moving so fast?
Yeah. That it was fast. It was. They're like, it was like 6 months or something, huh?
He said that. Well, like, yeah, I knew him from when I was a kid, but he was getting divorced, so I didn't like that. I was like, you just finished getting divorced, so I didn't like that.
Yeah, no, that's very smart on your part. So what they're saying is open the crack the door open, but look and see who's at the door, right? So if it's somebody that you feel like needs saving, just say, here's a donation. Have a nice day.
Well, I think Sean doesn't need saving. Yeah, but Sean doesn't need saving. He has two businesses and he's focused. I just didn't like the divorce, but he's a good father, so he will be a very great example for my son.
Yeah, yeah, and it's okay, you know, if he, because they're like, oh, he might rush off and just do something else. But so it's a better idea to give him a little bit of space, okay? And what they're saying though is that it could come back around, you know, because I feel like you guys are still in communication. Is that right,
Sean? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys are still in communication, and he's always liked you, honey.
I know. I'm like, when he said that, I went away to college and everything. He's been talking to my mom. He knows all my business and everything, and he's quiet. How does he know all this? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's always liked you. It's just, you went off and did. But did he get married first though? Before you got serious?
No, I was away at school. I haven't seen him since we were like 5 and 6. I mean, since high school. I didn't pay attention to that.
Right, right. But so you guys have this soul connection, right? This soul bond. And but now it's his divorce isn't final yet.
I think he's finalizing it. He said he's finalizing it.
Okay. Because it looks like maybe 2 to 3 months, everything will be sort of, it'll be all, it looks like everything's smoothed out in 2 to 3 months, okay? So just give him, you know, give him a little space. And it's always a good idea to sort of give somebody space after they get divorced where they can figure out what the heck they're doing and not jump right into another relationship.
He said, let's move in together. He said a pregnancy date. He's like, we're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
I was like, what? How are you just? So I said, give me a chance to think.
Yeah.
You know, and he loves me being into ministry. So he is so excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to see, you're going to have to set the pace and take it at your pace. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to be clear about that. So, I mean, it looks like it could be a nice adventure with him, but you're going to have to set your pace, okay?
Okay.
You're definitely going to have to set your pace, okay? He can be a little bit. He can be a little bit controlling.
Is he? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He said that pregnancy date. I did not show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's getting pregnant today? I did not show up.
Right. That's awesome. Well, good for you. Good for you. You know, so you keep making the right choice for you, okay?
Yes.
One choice at a time. You keep making the right choice for you one day, one choice at a time. And then one of my mentors, Colette Baron Reed, always says, what is meant for you shall not go past you. So keep that in mind. Don't because it's like I feel like I either want to retract or I want to reach out and like, you know, pull them in and suffocate them, right?
Mm.
So just know that what is meant for you shall not go past you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a little bit controlling, and you know that won't change if you guys come together. Where that'll be your biggest challenge, your biggest area where you butt heads, because you are a free spirit, girl. And you're just like, I'm going to do what I want to do. Although, you know, you do a lot of people, a lot of women do. But for the most part, if you want to do something, you're going to go ahead and do it.
Well, does he want me to have, is the reason that he wanted a child, is it because he wants an additional child or he just wanted us to enjoy family?
He's not clear about what he wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't hurt his feelings by not doing it?
He's not really clear about what he wants. No, just keep talking to him. Just keep talking to him, honey. Communication. Just keep talking to him, okay?
Oh. Oh, well, that's exciting.
Yeah. And remember, what's meant for you won't go past you. So if he's meant to be, then... He's not gonna go by, you know. He's gonna come around, and his chart looks a little better. Where I don't see where he's got the there's no clear infidelity in his chart.
No, he's faithful. He really is.
Yeah. Yeah, where the other guy's chart, he's clearly got it written in his chart.
He runs down hallways.
Yeah, he runs down hallways. Oh my God. My God, sit here at the table shaking their head going, yep. Runs down hallways.
Oh, that's funny.
I love that analogy.
That's going to be my new thing now. I'm going to tell my daughter, you tell those boys, they're not running down your hallway. That is the new thing. Thank you.
Yeah. I love that. That is awesome.
Oh, you have made my day. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, my pleasure. It was really a pleasure talking with you.
Free comedy show, yes. I am so busy. Minister of people. You're like, are you ministering him down? I had to close the Bible and back up. Yeah, I was. Like, did she see my Bible through the phone? I just had a scripture for him. I was just texting him a scripture. She told me to stop sending him scriptures.
Well, you know, like, if that's what you want your relationship to be, you want to keep ministering him, that's fine. But if you want to go down that hallway, you got to stop that.
No, I would be crazy. No, I don't need that. I need to call in and talk about something. Hi, I see a boxing fight going on around you. What are you doing? Do you have boxing gloves?
Mm-hmm.
No,
yep.
I don't want to fight him. I don't want to fight him. I'd rather be calm.
There you go. I love it. All right, honey. I got to run.
Thank you.
It was really, really a lot of fun talking with you today.
How do we reach you outside of this burrito? Because you are amazing.
Thank you so much. If you just go on my website, you can actually book a session with me right through my website.
Okay, so is it CynthiaFontaine.com?
CynthiaFontaine.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.